Welcome to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the talk.
After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the disciples in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. And they will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." This is the word of God.
Thank you for bringing our Bible reading. Good morning, everyone. As Hannah said, my name is Eve, and I'm the clergy lead here, and it's a privilege to be stepping into this Holy Week with all of us here as a community. The children and young people are having their Easter experience downstairs or on the weekend away, and so we have some time together today to enter Holy Week this Palm Sunday. And we have been in Luke's gospel account for our meals with Jesus. I don't know if you've been reading along in Luke throughout Lent. And so we're going to journey in Luke's gospel as well with Jesus to Jerusalem. And Luke, in his gospel, is asking and raising the question throughout, who is Jesus? That might be a question that many of us either are asking for the first time or still ask in our walk following him. So I want to invite us today to reflect and journey together to set ourselves up as a community to enter into Holy Week. And for many around us, maybe for us, this next week could just be a week headed to a bank holiday. And that's, you know, that's all right, that's a good thing. Or maybe the school holidays. Maybe there'll be some sales in the shops and some cheaper Easter eggs. But I invite us to go with the church calendar to notice the places and the people and the posture involved in Palm Sunday and of Jesus, the coming King, and see what that might mean for us heading into this week. And ironically, there are no palms mentioned in Luke's account for Palm Sunday. So we will have our palm crosses and we will take them home and we will use them to remember. And you might read in the other accounts. But there are cloaks. Don't know how many of you have got a cloak. I actually own a cloak because as vicars I have a big cloak that I sometimes wear for different services. But we will use our palm crosses to remember what's happening today. So first of all, I want to draw our attention to the places in the Palm Sunday account and for us. And we see that in the first few verses. As Jesus goes to Jerusalem, he approaches Bethpage and Bethany and comes to the hill at the Mount of Olives. And in this account, we go at a walking pace with Jesus. And on the Thursday or the Friday before this Palm Sunday that we know, Jesus was in Jericho, quite a few miles from Jerusalem. He meets Zacchaeus. We see that in the chapter before. And then went to Bethany and spent time in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who were dear friends of him and who Jesus had raised from the dead. And then, because there wouldn't have been travel or walking on the Sabbath, he needed to arrive close enough before that to be able to walk into Jerusalem on the Sunday. This journey was very intentional for Jesus. And why Jerusalem? Why has Jesus set his face, his course for that place? He had visited Jerusalem many times before, and we see in Luke's account that he's arranging his story since chapter 9 towards this climactic visit. We see in previous chapters in Luke 5 that Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem. In Luke 13, when he's on his way teaching and preaching, he's still on his way to Jerusalem. And in Luke 17, passing through Samaria and Galilee, he is on his way to Jerusalem. Why this vital focus? Well, one commentator says, this place is full of eschatological future kingdom hope. It's where things will happen. It's where the prophets have been killed, the prophets of Yahweh before. Jerusalem is the center of spiritual, religious, and political power. It's from Jerusalem that influential Jewish leaders have come. And it's where the people expected the kingdom of God to be revealed. It's the city of the great king, King David. And this whole gospel account seems to be pointed towards a non-Jewish audience, but it reminds them that the gospel is for the Gentiles as well, but it comes from the Jews and from Jerusalem. So this whole story and the focus of heading towards Jerusalem points us to Jesus as that longed-for Messiah King. How will he be received? And although he technically comes and goes a couple of times from the city, theologically he has one destination and one arrival. The places are important. This Holy Week, I wonder, are we aware of Jesus at work in the places that we find ourselves in? In the gospel narrative, Luke, the author, slows down the story dramatically. We are at walking pace with Jesus throughout this week, yet with this panoramic view of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, Jesus has a good view of where he is going and where he is headed and knows what will happen. Are we able to slow down to a walking pace with Jesus, to notice what he is doing around us? Are people around us seeking to find Jesus and are open to God like they were in Jericho? Do we feel known and loved and supported like Jesus did in Bethany, surrounded by his friends? Jesus set his face for Jerusalem, entering as the promised king to the cross, so that we can be forgiven and free and carry the presence of Jesus to every place. I don't want to ask, where is our Jerusalem? Because I think that's not the question that this text asks us. It's maybe an unhelpful and simplistic way of applying this story to our lives. I think Jesus' journey to Jerusalem was once and for all, a journey that only Jesus could make. But his journey to a specific place means that all places matter to God. And we partner with him in laying down our cloaks and making the way for the King to come in. I wonder where we will be this coming week. It's a simple question in a way, but it's a question about theology and discipleship and what it looks like to follow Jesus practically as well. Because we will all be in places where others of us won't be. Some of us, you will be in your workplace tomorrow morning. I won't be there. I'm not going to come to work with you. Some of us will be at the school gate. I won't. I won't be in Abbey Grange School as Hannah and other teams share the Easter story with hundreds of young people. I will be in a Pilates class with some other people that I don't normally see on a Wednesday. I don't think you'll be there. If you are, that's great. We will be in different places. At the moment, we're just over a mile from St. Augustine's Rangthorn, one of our team churches, and from there to Holy Trinity, it's nearly two, which is a similar distance to what Jesus walked on this Palm Sunday. Many of us lived scattered in Leeds and gather in our church here as we have a call to our city. So I want to ask you for a couple of moments, if you would be happy to today, to share with one another the simple question, where will you be this week? You can go further and say, what does it look like to make a way for Jesus there? It might be through prayer or through conversations or through thinking about that space and place. But for a couple of minutes, would you turn to someone near you? You might not know them, might ask their name. The very simple question, where will you be this week? And there might be a couple of different places and spaces. If you're really content to just not talk to anyone, you can say, I'm here right now, thanks. And you can just not worry about it. But I think asking, where will we be this week, is a question we can hopefully all speak to. So for a couple of minutes now, do that. Introduce yourself and say, where will you be this week? The place that matters to God. Fantastic. I can see lots of conversation happening. That's the kind of starter for 10 for us as we think about the significance of Jesus going to one place, because God cares about all places. There'll be another opportunity to chat in just a moment. So we've thought about the places in Holy Week and the places that we inhabit this Holy Week. Secondly, I want to reflect on people, the people in Palm Sunday. So we'll see in the second part of the passage that we were reading, there's several different people mentioned and the things that they do. So in these few verses, there are those that were sent ahead, a couple of disciples. We don't know whether they were part of the 12 or whether they were part of the wider group, but they have specific instructions from Jesus that they obey. And they're told to go and find a colt that will be tied up, to untie it and to tell the owners that the Lord needs it. We don't know who went for the colt or where it was or who the owners of the colt were or how they felt. There's a lot of detail we actually don't know. But we do know that these people were told, instructed to untie the colt. And if you read through, there's five mentions of tying or untying. I don't know if you've ever had someone give you very specific instructions and they repeat the thing that they really want to happen. So why, if we notice the people and what they do, why is this untying matter? Well, this alludes to a passage in Genesis, all the way back in Genesis 49, when Jacob is blessing his sons, and he blesses his son Judah and the tribe that will come from him. And in that passage it says, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his." The one to whom a colt is tied, it says he will tether his donkey, his colt, to a vine. So the one who has the colt tied to a vine and unties it is the one whom nations shall obey. So this very specific prophetic word is fulfilled by Jesus. I find that mind-blowing. And that the owners, the lords of the donkey, of the colt, are told that the Lord needs it. And these obedient disciples then seem to act on their own accord in laying down the cloaks on the donkey and on the floor. It's like they remember the scriptures and where kings in the Old Testament and the Hebrew scriptures have been welcomed with cloaks on the floor, and they just instinctively do that towards Jesus. And he enters the city following the pattern of other examples of scripture and the culture as a king, as a reigning king, the king who has already won the victory, not approaching his crowning, but entering in victory. There's some other people, the wider group of disciples, who joyfully praise God in loud voices. We've done a little bit of that today. And this is his pilgrim crowd of disciples. It's a different crowd that will later shout, "Crucify him." So it's not that this crowd is fickle, it's that there are two different groups of people set up as an example for us, for those who will praise King Jesus and those who will resist his rule and reign. And it asks us the question, who are we? And then there's the Pharisees, mentioned for the last time in this gospel here, representing those who challenge Jesus' claims to being king. They address him as teacher, which the tone of this, they only use that when they challenge Jesus or ask him difficult questions. So it's not a reverent teacher, it's a teacher, tell us this. And that's what's coming across as Luke describes it. So we see those who are sent ahead, those who obey Jesus, those who praise him, and those who resist him. And we celebrate this on this side of Easter. We could be described as those continuing to be sent ahead in the places where we are to welcome the reigning King Jesus. And I wonder if we are attentive, like those disciples, recognizing Jesus in the scriptures as King, listening to his voice through the Holy Spirit, through one another, through our small groups, and then being obedient. Do we have areas of our life where we're resisting Jesus as King, like the Pharisees? Do we notice the people around us, how we can love and serve them? And so I want to ask you again, for a couple of minutes, who are you in the story maybe, but also who are the people around you? How open are they to Jesus? And sometimes that is a conversation about him, but sometimes that's seeing us as those people of peace in their lives. It's how open they are to the things of the kingdom or to prayer as well. So you could just answer, who are the people you will encounter this week? But also you might want to say, who are you in the story? So for 2 minutes, think about one of those questions on the screen. Maybe share with the people that you've already met. Go for it. Wonderful. If I can draw you back, we'll come into land together. So we've thought about places and people, and now we're going to think about posture, the posture of Jesus entering Jerusalem and our posture this Holy Week. So we see in the final few verses of our passage that Jesus approaches Jerusalem, he sees the city and he weeps over it. And he says, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, that is now hidden. And he talks about the peace of God and the judgment of God, the trajectory that happens when we resist the good, kingly Jesus. So Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem in the manner of a king, riding an animal, shouts of acclaim. And his disciples praise him as the longed-for king who will bring his kingdom. But what is his posture of being a king? And what might ours be in return? Sometimes we've thought that because Jesus came on a donkey and not a horse, which in our context has a difference of status, that that's a sign of the humility of Jesus as king. But we've seen today that riding on an animal and in the cultural time, in the way that Jesus did, was understood at the time as recognition of a king, or at least a very wealthy person of status, because any other usual pilgrim would walk. And Jesus is the king who has already won the victory. He enters Jerusalem in as the reigning king. So it's not that being on a colt or a donkey is the difference here. I think we see it in the posture of Jesus, his response to seeing Jerusalem. Jesus is the king who weeps over Jerusalem, longing to bring peace to his people, to God's people, and to the world. And we see that proclaiming of peace throughout Luke. Jesus is the king who sets his face towards Jerusalem. He can see in full view the place and the people that will instruct his death. Yet he submits to God, the Father's will, for his destiny. Jesus is humble, but he knows who he is. He knows that if his disciples weren't crying out in recognition and praise, the stones will cry out, he says. Jesus does not come to conquer the city as a political leader in power and violence. He comes to be conquered. And in this great reversal, to win an even more profound victory for all of us. And his later entrance into Jerusalem, the second time that he comes in to share the Last Supper in secret, points to the way that his kingdom will come, not as a political or a national idea, but as a covenant relationship that will transform the heart in fulfillment of other Old Testament prophecy. So I wonder, as we step into this Holy Week, what kind of authorities and influences do we listen to in our lives? Who are the kings, the royalty? And how can we shift that towards Jesus again this week? Maybe at that walking pace, reading through the scriptures to stay at the pace of Jesus, talking about that in our small groups, praying the prayers of Jesus. And how does the posture of Jesus as king shape how we respond to him? He comes to serve. He comes to bring us peace, comes to die in our place. This is the king that we shout Hosanna to. So I want to invite us this week to enter Holy Week at the walking pace of Jesus, the one who entered Jerusalem as the reigning king, aware of who he was, humble and submitted to the Father, who would journey to the cross for us, that all people and places would know King Jesus and be restored to the Father in relationship. And as we go through this week, I invite us to notice the places that we're in, the people we encounter. And sometimes that takes a little bit of effort and partnership on our side. Take some things away, add some things in, be accountable to those around us so that we can listen to his voice, we can praise God, and we can lay our cloaks, the things that we have, our actions, our words, our attitudes, to make a way for Jesus this week. And I encourage us to join in with others of the services this week to mark that walking pace of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.